Welcome to another beautiful time in God's Word. Sit back as God's servant, Reverend Stevie Kibua, takes you on a journey deeper into the Word of God. Be blessed.
Today we're looking at the power of your thoughts, or the power of your mind, or the power of your thinking faculty. What happens in your mind? How powerful your mind is. Okay? A wise person said, think new thoughts and you will change your mind. Think new thoughts and you will change your mind. Change your mind and you will change your world. If you think new thoughts, you will change your mind. And if your mind is changed, your own world is changed. That means that our minds dictate or fashions our world. Our mind is what is responsible for the kind of world we live in. I'm not talking about the globe. I'm talking about your immediate environment, the aura around you, or the experiences you have is dependent on your mind. Hallelujah. Another one says, when things change inside you, things change around you. So when things change on the inside of you, things definitely will take a new turn around you. So sometimes we want to change things around us, but things have not changed on the inside of us. So we're doing the same thing over and over again, and we're expecting a different result. It doesn't happen. It's only insanity, you know. So for you to have a different experience, you need to do something different. You don't have to do the same old, same old. So when things change inside you, things change around you. Romans 12:2 is our text. Praise God. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Last week I told us that it is a command. It's an order. It's an instruction that it comes with an authoritative order. Be not conformed to this world. If I say, don't come to my house, praise God. It's not maybe, maybe not. So he says, be not conformed to this world. You have nothing to do with conformity to the world. You have nothing to do with being aligned to the way the world does things. You can't do things the way the world behaves. You cannot behave that way. So he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you'll be able to what? Know. You'll be able to decipher. You'll be able to determine what the will of God for your life is. So if your mind is not renewed, you cannot have access to the will of God. Praise God. If your mind is not renewed concerning your health or your redemption, you cannot have access to the power of God that guarantees your health or that guarantees your salvation. If your mind is not renewed concerning your finance or concerning your blessing or concerning the works of your hand, you cannot access the things that have to do with the blessings of God in that area. So when things change inside you, things change around you. When things change inside you, your pattern of thought changes about your children. Your pattern of thought changes about your work. Your pattern of thought changes about your business. Then things around you will change. So things around us is fashioned by the thoughts that we allow to go through our minds. Our imaginations, our thoughts, our perception controls what happens around us. It says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is, or so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, as you think in your heart, so you are. So your thought is a manifestation of you. Your thought of yesteryears or yesterday is a revelation of you today. So as you think in your heart, so you are. So your thought shows who you are. Your thought defines the parameters of your life. Your thought determines the extent of your capability. Your thought. It's very important. Praise God. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. So that means that our thoughts are so powerful. What we think, what we dwell on, what we meditate on has the capacity to determine our life, has the capacity to put limitation, has the capacity to take away the limitation. So it determines how your life will be, what you think about yourself, what you think about your children, what you think about your family, What your thought is about your marriage, what your thought is about your home, determines what you really see. As a man thinketh, so he is. So what you think is what you see. What your mind attracts is what you gravitate towards. Now we'll quickly look at the Bible and look at something that happened in scriptures. Now in Numbers 13, we know the story in Numbers 13, where Moses, after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and God was taking them to the promised land. God was going to bless them to give them the land of Canaan. And God told Moses to tell the people to go out and spy out the land. Go and look at the land I want to give you. Go and survey. I'm taking you out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, but I need you to go by yourself to check the, to survey the land, see how the land is. So Moses picked elders from different families, you know, elders from the 12 tribes of Israel, and, you know, instructed them based on what the Lord had told him to go and spy out the land. So we'll look at that story, but I'm going to skim read. I'm going to read Numbers 13, 1 to 3, then I'll read 17, and then 23 to 33. So it's a long read. Praise God. I read. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, everyone a ruler among them." Verse 3. "And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." They were leaders of the children of Israel. They were fathers. Praise God. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain." 23. "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs." Verse 24. "The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence." 25. "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So 40 days they were searching the land. 40 days they went to survey the land. And the Bible says this land that they went to survey is a land that the Lord has given to them. So God has already given them the land, although they were not in possession of the land. God says, go and spy the land that I have given. So in the mind of God, in the plan of God, in the will of God, God has already given them the land. All they had to do was to go and survey the land so that they can have understanding of the limitation or the extent or the parameters of what God has given to them. So God has already given. God is not saying, go and spy that I will give you. God says, I have given you this land, but go and survey the land. So they've been to this place and they've seen massive things, beautiful things. A grape, a cluster of grapes that two men had to carry. How big is that grape? You know, when we talk about grapes here, you just pick one little grape, put it. This is a cluster of grapes they had to put on a pole, and two men had to carry it. That means it was a fertile land. It was a good land. It was a beautiful land. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 25 again. It says, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So it took them 40 days to check the length and breadth of the land, to survey the land. Verse 26. "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran." They came back to where they left from, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they brought the news back to Moses, and they also brought beautiful fruit from the land. "And they told him and said, We came unto the land," that's verse 27 now, "we came unto the land whither thou sentest us." So we went to the right land. "And surely it floweth with milk and honey." Surely, of a truth, it's a beautiful land. Flowing with milk and honey speaks of fertility. Milk and honey speaks of, agronomy, planting, fertile land. "The land is fertile," they said. "And this is the fruit of it." They brought the fruit. This is the evidence. Verse 28, let's read on. They say, nevertheless, hallelujah, "nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." We saw giants. We saw sons of giants. Hallelujah. Verse 29, The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they told him how people were living in the land. There were giants on the south. There were the Canaanites. There were the enemies of Israel here and there. Verse 30. And Caleb steeled the people. Caleb told them, shush. Praise God. Caleb told them, be quiet. He steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Let's go and take the land, because God has already given us the land. God has already given them the land. Praise God. For they are let us go up and possess it at once, for we are well able to overcome it. That's verse 30. Verse 31 now. It says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I want everyone to look at me. Now, while they were giving account, Caleb said, why are you being so negative? Let us go up at once and take it. Why will Caleb say that? Because God had already given them the land. Let me give you an example. I said to Aniel, I've given you all this house, all the streets, everything here. I've given you the cars. Okay? All Aniel needs to go and do is to go and check how many houses are there. Then Aniel goes there and check. Okay, about 50 houses. Beautiful cars. And then Aniel said, but there are people still there. There are giants there. But I'm saying to Aniel, as the God of the ends of the earth, I have given you the place. So all Aniel needs to do is to say, thank you, Father, I'm going to take it. But these people say, wow, they have giants there. We cannot take it. But God has already given you. I'm talking about your thoughts, how powerful your thoughts are. Verse 32. The Bible says, and they brought up an evil report of the land that they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. This land will kill everybody that dwells in it. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They lied because of fear. They saw the Canaanites. Not all the Canaanites are giants. They saw the sons of Anak. The Anakims are giants. Just one tribe of giants. But they said all the people we saw in there are giants. The Bible says in verse 33, and they said, and there we saw giants and the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. It says, we were in our own sight. Please listen to this. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. And so we are, or we were in their sight. I will take that again, and I want you to think with me. After giving all the negative reports, it says, in our sight, when we look at ourselves, we feel like we are grasshoppers before them. And we believe that is the way they see us. How did they know that that is the way they perceive them? Are you following me? We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So they had already projected an image of themselves. They had seen themselves as not capable. They had seen themselves as tiny, weeny, little people. They had seen themselves as grasshoppers. So there is no way they can contend for the land that God has given. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. We hear a phrase that says, the way you are dressed is the way you will be addressed. The way you are dressed is the way people will address you. If you comport yourself in a very shabby way, people will speak to you shabbily. If you walk into a presence or a place with presence, with courage, people will respect you. They will speak to you honorably. They said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Guess what happened to these people? What happened to them? Bible scholars. After this testimony, what happened to them? Most of them died. Praise God. Most of them died. Most of them did not see the land. They did not experience the blessing because they shut themselves out of the blessing. Praise God. So what you think in your mind controls what you are. What you think in your head controls what happens around you. Hallelujah. He said, we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their own eyes. In their own eyes. They saw themselves in the minds of the same people they were meant to go and control. So, when things change inside you, things change around you. If you see yourself as a useless failure, if you see yourself as a non-entity, nothing can change that mentality and nothing can bring good your way. That is why the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your transformation comes when you begin to renew your mind. And God deals with transformed people. Praise God. Somebody say God deals with transformed people.
God deals with transformed people.
Praise God. He wants you to come the way you are, but he doesn't want you to remain the way you are. God wants you to change so that God can lift you up to his realm. The Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places. It's not for little-minded people. Scripture says, set your minds on things above, not on things beneath. Praise God. So the walk with God is a walk with divinity. It's a walk where God has lifted up from the realm of mediocrity to the realm of success. The Bible says they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And because they saw themselves as grasshoppers, they said the people even think we are grasshoppers. But God had given them the land. What an irony. What are the things that God has given to you? And you still look at yourself as Mr. Incapable. What are the things that heaven has blessed you with? And you still look at yourself as Mr. Insufficient. I'm not sufficient. Or I'm not capable. What are the blessings that God has brought to your household? And you're still not able to take it because you feel you're not fashioned for that blessing. You're too short. Or you're too uneducated. Or you're too you're not exposed. Said we saw in our eyes that we are as grasshoppers, and they also see us as grasshoppers. So you cannot rise above your definition of yourself. You cannot rise above what you think about yourself, no matter how much prayer is said over your head. If I call you and begin to pray for you every day, Father, bless this person, and that person sees themselves as a curse. They see themselves as somebody that is limited, is not possible. You cannot rise above your definition of yourself. As he thinketh in his heart, so he is. So he is. Not so he's going to be. If you are thinking that you are a failure, you definitely will fail. If you're thinking that you are a success, you definitely will radiate success. If you're thinking that you're blessed, based on what the word of God says, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you are speaking as the redeemed of the Lord, then you will walk in the redemption of God for your life as he thinketh in his heart. So he is. So your thoughts have the capacity to create your world. What world are you creating? What world are you creating? Sometimes we go see ourselves go to the hospital over and over again. And sometimes it's just because our minds will not let go about the fact that, you know, the mind is constantly thinking that there's something just wrong with me. There's something just wrong. Maybe what you need is a little rest. But your mind is thinking there's something just wrong with probably my blood vessel. And you keep going and doctors will say, we've checked everything. We can't see anything. You need to begin to change your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God says, I will bless your bread and I will bless your water. He says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Begin to think that God has taken sickness out of my midst. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Begin to think healing instead of thinking sickness. And as your mind begins to connect with the blessings of God, you begin to see yourself walk in the fullness of God's providence for your life.
Amen.
So the imagination of our minds matters. And the devil knows it. So our lives are always, you know, an expression of the results of our dominant thoughts. The thought that dominates your mind is what you will experience. You will gravitate towards the thought that dominates your mind. I remember the story again. Long time ago, my sister-in-law, heavily pregnant, I went to visit them. And she was going to somewhere, and I said, okay, let me just walk you down. So I was walking her down to where she was going, big belly, pregnant, almost due. And when we got to a small gutter that she was supposed to cross over, she just fell. And as she fell, she was going to hit, you know, face down her tummy on the edge of the gutter, but she was able to sustain herself or to block herself from being, seriously injured. And when she got up, she said to me, she said, do you know that? I'm always thinking that one day I will fall inside this gutter. That was what she said. She says, one day, I was always thinking that one day I will fall inside this gutter. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
She said, one day, I always think that one day I'm going to fall inside, and she was falling into it. If God was not there to deliver her. Praise God. So our lines always express the results of our dominant thoughts. You attract what you visualize. You attract your visualizations. What you see is what you attract. If you see yourself becoming the boss, becoming the one leading that company one time, sometime to come, you see yourself becoming the director general, you see yourself becoming the one in charge, and you walk towards it, you will experience it. This is the Bible teaching. You will experience it. So why will you spend your time thinking no one loves me? Why will you spend your time thinking nobody loves me? I'm not a good person, or I'm not good, or I'm not a success, or I'm a failure, or I can't. Why do you have I can't in your vocabulary? Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. It says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So God says you can, you should say you can. If God says you are able, you should say you are able. If God says you will, you should say you will. He says, I know the thought that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God is thinking about your hope. God is thinking about your future and is giving you hope. Why are you thinking in a despondent way? It doesn't matter what your background is. Your father may not be able to take you on holidays every month like every other fathers or some other fathers do. But you should think about the fact that you are blessed. Praise God. That you are the light that has come into the home to lift up the home. Praise God. That you are a child of blessing. Hallelujah. Some people battle with curses. You're thinking I'm cursed. Every day I'm cursed. When the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But your mind is always thinking there is a curse in my life. What you think, what you visualize, what you see is what you will attract. So you attract your visualizations. You attract your affirmations. What you affirm, what you say yes to. What you say, now so it be for my family. That's how we did one. That's how it just happened to us. Is what you will see. Praise God. I used to tell the children, I say, there is no I can't in the Ikebua family. When they were younger, Carissa still does it. Daddy, I can't. And she's crying. I said, no, there is no I can't. We don't do I can't. You have to keep trying. Praise God. Because you can. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you attract your affirmations. You attract your visualizations. You must get rid of the negative thoughts. For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind means a sober mind, means a mind that is under control, a mind that is not push up and down, a mind that is not infested with anxiety or worry or uncertainty, a mind that is not deluded with thoughts of incapacity, it's thoughts of ability, it's thoughts of I can do it, it's thoughts of I can make it. Praise God. If people come out with best grades, I can come out with best grades. Praise God. Hallelujah. If people get in to do this course, I can do the course. They are not better than I am because I am blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, we know that fear is the main strategy of the devil. Devil uses fear to capture people. You know, people say, the devil made me do it. Have you heard people say that? I don't know why. It's the devil. The devil made me do it. Where did they see the devil? Where did they see him? He doesn't come knocking on people's door physically. Praise God. Some people, it may come knocking on the door, maybe in the realm of the spirit, or people depending on how dark they've gone. But devil, you can't see the devil on the street saying, okay, slap this person. Devil walks through thoughts. He walks through thoughts. He drops the thoughts. He drops it and begins to watch you ponder on it. Watch you feed it. Watch you water the thoughts. And then watch the thought grow so big. And then watch the thought dominate your life. We'll see that in the scriptures. That is why the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thoughts. We pull down thoughts. We don't pull down physical spirits. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't just pull down spirits. You know, when you pull them down, they'll go back there. We pull down strongholds. Strongholds are patterns of thoughts. The ways we think. The ways we think. The ways we allow things get into our mind and stay there. That is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. Please read it. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we eat bread, we eat butter, we have toast like everybody does. Big beans and egg, scrambled egg and the rest. Though we walk in the flesh, we do things the way everybody does things. Well, we do not war after the flesh. We do not go to war the way the world goes to war. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not tangible weapons. They are not something you touch with your hands. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Not the pulling down of demons. Not to pulling down of principalities and powers. It says we pull down strongholds. Because when strongholds are there in your life is captivated. When the strongholds are there, then the devil has control over your life. It's a casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. My God, the word is so rich. We cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? The knowledge of God here speaks of what God has revealed to you about himself. God says, I am your Alpha, I am your Omega, I am Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That is revelation about you. And then strongholds will pull down thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. If there is a thought that is saying you're going to die in your disease, you're going to die in this sickness, that's a stronghold coming and building. You pull it down and say, no, Jehovah is the Lord that healeth me. Praise God. And because he healeth me, I am healed in the name of Jesus. You begin to speak your redemption. You begin to speak your redemption. And as you're speaking your redemption, you are renewing your mind. Praise God. And as you're renewing your mind, praise God, God is lifting you up. It's very important. These are things that the Bible teaches us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we can see that there are no shortcuts. Praise God. There are no magical formula for renewing your minds. We must fill our minds with God's words. As Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's see an example of what I just spoke about you know, our thoughts, about what happens to us when we begin to have some thoughts become dominant in our hearts. You cannot rise above your visualization about yourself. You need to begin to change the way you think about Stephen. I'm speaking to myself now. You need to change about the way you think about Ethan. Who is he? Praise God. Is he a success or a failure? Praise God. You need to begin to change about what you think about Anil. Who is he? Praise God. Hallelujah. Even if people are dying around, his case is different because in him he lives. In him he moves. In him he has his being. He has his existence in God because God is his Father. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because God is his Father, he has no want. Praise God. When you begin to think what God's word says about you, that is you changing your mentality about things happening around you. And if you can change your mind, you can change your world. Hallelujah. So in Genesis chapter 3, we see the story of Genesis chapter 3. That was the fall or the temptation of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3. I won't take too long. Genesis 3, 1 to 7. Now we know the story, how God made the garden, beautiful garden, how God made man and woman and placed them in the garden. He made man and woman, not man and man, not woman and woman, but man and woman. And God established a family based on that foundation. And the devil was so envious and so jealous of what God has done in their lives. And the devil decided to come and cause them to lose what God's blessing is in their life. And the devil came in the form of a serpent. The Bible says, and the serpent was more subtle. Genesis 3, 1 to 7, I'll read it. It says, now the serpent was more subtle. It was more gentle and trickly than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah. And God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Praise God. Please pay attention. Praise God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees. We may eat of it. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God did not say don't touch it. God just told them, from what the Bible accounts, God says do not eat it. But the woman says, God said we should not eat, we shouldn't even touch it. If we touch it, we will die. You know, when God made Adam, he said, do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. God did not say do not touch it. God did not say even do not build a bamboo, build a chair with it. God did not say do not sit under the tree and enjoy the shade. God just says do not eat it. But when Eve was talking to the devil, because the devil wanted to bring Eve to his realm. His realm is logic. His realm is intellect. Because he has been here for a long time. So he knows how to trick you, how to bait you. What will trick you, what will make you feel excited. It may be chocolates. It may be, you know, just a little gift. It may be a little party. It may be a little promotion that will make you compromise. So the devil knows how to work things like that. So he came to Eve. As God said, you should not eat of any tree. He said, no. God says we can eat of every tree, but the one in the midst of the garden, we should not eat it. We should not even touch it. The day we touch it, we shall die. And then verse 3. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That means you're going to die, but not surely die. He may be talking about a different death, which the woman did not know of. If I say, the day I eat of it, I shall die. And someone says, you will not really die. That means you will die somehow. There is death somewhere, somehow. But maybe we're not talking about the same death. So Eve did not know what had happened. Verse 5, it says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as good as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, first thing she did was to see that the tree was beautiful for food. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants you to buy his suggestions. You're going to die. He wants you to buy his suggestions. He knows that he cannot kill you. Except you say yes, except you acquiesce, except you consent. Praise God. Because God has said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So the devil wants you to accept that you're going to die untimely. So he suggests to you that you may die before you are 50. And he's waiting for you to consent. And the moment you consent, he has the authority to change what God's intention for your life is. Because you have given your will to him. So here it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the tree has been there before. The tree has been there all along. It was after the devil spoke to her that she saw that the tree was good for food. Do you understand? The tree had been there. The fruit had been there. She didn't eat it. She even believed you can't even touch it. But when she dialogued with the devil, she saw what she had never seen before. How many times do we dialogue with the enemy? In our thoughts, in our minds, in our perceptions, about our home. Praise God. We read meanings into things that actually don't exist. Your wife looks upset. You feel your wife doesn't love you. All of a sudden, your thought is she doesn't love me because she looks upset. Why don't you take our time to say, honey, what's the problem? What's the matter? Your husband looks upset. You think your husband just hates you. Every time I just come home, he's just angry. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking that you're not loved or this marriage is going to end in disaster. Why do you have to let such thoughts fester over your hearts? Praise God. Or your mom, all of a sudden, because mom is upset with you, you just feel your mom doesn't love you. Maybe someone else is my mother. Maybe I don't really know who my mom is. And the thought begins to fester in your head and you're thinking that you're not loved. Praise God. The Bible says she saw after the communication with Satan that the tree was good for food. The tree has been there before. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was after she spoke, she allowed the thoughts. It was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Bible says she took of it. If she had not seen that it was good, if she had not seen that it was pleasant, she would not have taken. If she had not allowed the devil put things in her mind, she wouldn't have seen that it was good. So she spoke with the devil. Devil dropped nuggets of lies in her mind. She assessed them. She thought on them. And then she saw that it was good for food and that it can make her wise. And then she gravitated towards it. That's what I said. That what you visualize is what you are attracted to. What you see in your mind is what you're driven towards. What you see in your head is what becomes materialistic for you. It's what materializes for you, rather, what you see. And what happened? The Bible says she took up the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Two people died. It wasn't just Eve. They died. Their death was that they were alienated from God. Because what gives them a life is that they were connected to God. They died. Then all of a sudden, Adam, that was always bold to fellowship with God, heard the voice of God in the cool of the day. The Bible says they went to hide themselves. And God says, Adam, where art thou? He says, I heard your voice. I hid myself because I was naked. I was afraid. The man that used to sit with God and chat with God began to hide from God. And we've done this before in a series. He says, I hid myself. That means everything that God has endowed him with. The grace, the glory, the man that named all the animals, the man that called lion and said, your name is lion, and lion is lion till today. The man that declared everything that was in his time that was in control, all of a sudden became somebody that was making himself recluse. He was hiding himself in the bushes, covering himself with leaves. What do you let into your mind? Hallelujah. That is why you see David saying it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you check all the Psalms of David, most of his Psalms were songs that he sang in the midst of trials and tribulations. Praise God. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. David will write songs having to do with the challenges he is facing. He will say things that is opposed to what he's experiencing. What do you say of your situation? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The eyes of Adam and Eve were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The people began to hide from God. The people began to hide from God. Why? Because they saw. How did they see? Because they thought. Praise God. How did they think? Because they communicated with the one they should have no business with. Hallelujah.
The
Hallelujah.
The
in Genesis 11:6. Genesis 11:6. Hallelujah. Genesis 11:6. Still talking about the power of your thoughts, the power of your imagination. How powerful is your thoughts and how you imagine things? That is why the Bible is saying renew your mind. You cannot renew your mind by reading newspapers. You can update yourself with current affairs by reading newspapers. You can know what's happening in the world, politics and current affairs, by reading books. But to renew your mind, you have to intake the Word of God. You have to study the Bible. Children, you have to study the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Understand what Jesus did. Get to know what Jesus did on the cross. Get to know how that impacts your life as a Christian. Get to know, memorize scriptures. Be able to quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Learn it. That's how you renew your mind. Not renew your mind by watching, you know, CDBs or TV 24/7. You can't renew your mind by being on Game Station or PlayStation for the whole day. You have to have time that you spend on the Word of God. Yes, PlayStation, yes. I can see somebody turning like this. Okay, Genesis 11:6. Genesis 11:6. It says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. He didn't say the world, behold, the people are one. The whole, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they began to do, or they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Did you hear that? God was saying nothing will be restrained from these people. Anything they have set their imaginations on. God is saying here that even he himself will not be looking at putting away things that these people have imagined. God created the mind. And the reason why he made the mind is for human development. That is why people say use your mind now. Just use your mind. You know they think. Is there as a gift. Praise God. Think positive things. Think the word. God says here that these people will do anything as long as it's in their imagination. These were the people that wanted to build the Tower of Babel. They said to themselves, we want to build a skyscraper to get to heaven so we can climb up and step into heaven. They were going to build a house so tall into the heavens. And God didn't want them because God is not saying don't build. God wants the people to, from that point, get into all the world. So God was looking at creating, you know, scattering people all over the nations of the world. But these ones in Babel decide to stay there. And their mind is, we want to build one house or one particular building that will get to heaven. We don't want to move from here. So they were walking against God's will. But God says, nothing will be withheld from them as long as it's in their imagination. What do you think with your mind? What do you think with your mind? You have right to think whatever you want to think with your mind. Praise God. Your mind creates your world. Our lives expresses or is always an expression of our dominant thoughts. God says nothing will be withheld from them that they have imagined to do. So in the same vein, nothing will be taken away from you that is in your imagination as long as it's the right thing. So you need to think right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think that you are a success, not a failure. Think that you are the head and not the tail. Think that you are a blessing and not a curse. Praise God. Think that you bring joy to your generation. Praise God. Think that you are a joy of many generations. Think that you are the giver of beautiful ashes. The one that brings oil of joy for mourning. The one that brings the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Think what the Lord has done for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Think I will not die, but live to declare his goodness in the land of the living. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Think like David says, once I was old, once I was young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Think I will not beg bread. My seed will not beg bread. Think what the Lord has said about you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't matter how old you are. Praise God. Age is just a number. We hear that all the time. Caleb says, give me the mountains. In his 80s, I will take the mountains. Hallelujah. He says, my strength is still the same as I was when I was a youth. Give me the mountains. What do you think with your mind? You attract your visualizations. You attract your affirmations. What you affirm is what you attract. What you visualize is what comes to you. Hallelujah. What you visualize is what comes to you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. We have our existence in Christ Jesus. So what do you think about yourself? Hallelujah. You know, we hear people say, you cannot stop a bird flying over your head, but you can stop a bird nesting over your head. You can stop a bird sitting over your head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It matters what you think. It matters what you think. Praise God. It matters what you think. I'll run up with this story. You know the story in Genesis? Let us look at it. It's Genesis chapter 13. Every thought that has held you bound, today in the name of Jesus, I break them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I break
Amen.
Them. In the name of Jesus, I break
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
I command a rising from the ashes, that your thoughts have restricted you to. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
You are the head and not the tail. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Genesis, let's look to Genesis chapter 13. Now, this story is about Lot and Abraham. The Bible says there was a conflict between their men. The space they had was too small for them. Also, they were conflicting. And Lot was supposed to be Abraham's nephew. And Abraham, at a point, said to them, look, let us separate. Instead of me fighting you, Lot, take your men. Choose whatever place you want to choose, and then you can go and settle. And Abraham said, after you have chosen, I will choose. I'm not looking into the issues about who chooses first and who shouldn't choose first. But we know the story just to give us a background. From verse 10, the Bible says, when Abraham told him to choose, the Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered. Everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as it cometh unto Zoar. Then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they were separated themselves, the one from the other. Praise God. So Lot chose the most beautiful part where he lifted up his eyes way hard when Abraham says, Lot, you choose so that we don't fight. Take one side. And he chose the most beautiful, the luscious place, the fertile land. He chose everything that has water that is good. So he left his uncle to choose the other side that is no good. Praise God. So Lot made a choice to choose the fertile lands and left Abraham to no good land. Verse 12. Praise God. So it says, Abraham dwelt in the Canaan. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Okay? Now, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot has departed or separated from him, he says, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if any man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Did you see what happened now? God told Abraham now, you look from where you are standing. Look from where you are standing. Don't do anything special. Just lift up your eyes and look northward, eastward, and southward. God told him to look even the one that Lot chose. He says, as far as your eyes can see, as far as your mind can imagine, as far as it can enter your heart and your mind and your thought, that this is yours. He says, I will give it to you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So even the one that Lot chose, Abraham ultimately had it. Why? Because he had the capacity to conceive it. You cannot touch what you have not seen. Your mind should think God's word. Your thoughts should be on what God says about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are not an ordinary person, and God does not make nonentities. You are not a nonentity. You are not a failure. Praise God. You should be bold to carry yourself that you are a child of the King. Hallelujah. Even if it looks like things are not working your way. Even if it looks like you don't know a particular subject, it doesn't matter. That is inconsequential to your success. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Even if you think you don't know a particular subject, it's inconsequential to your success. But you can also apply your heart to say, no, the people that understand the subject are ordinary people. I am a child of the King, and so I receive grace to know the subject.
Mm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You need to change, you need to elevate your thoughts. Change your mindset. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As a girl thinks in her heart, so she is. As a boy thinks in his heart, so he is. As a mother thinks in her heart, so she is. As a father thinks in his heart, so he is. Your thought determines the parameters of your life. Why don't you spend good time thinking the word of God? Praise God. That is why Philippians says, whatsoever things are lovely. Let us round up with Philippians chapter 4. Praise God. Oh, mahikotose eskabeke teyanda saitenish shikandosh hatemendre heka hikosote velige mando soto velige barata satayagabashete. Strongholds are going down in your heart and in your minds. In the name of Jesus. Heaven is fighting battle for you. In the name of Jesus, God is ambushing your enemies as his word is going forth today. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed indeed. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Mora da 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 shokati. Seko peyandos. Philippians chapter 4. I'll read from verse 6 and I'll round up with this. It says, Philippians 4 from verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Praise God. It says, let your request be made unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In verse 8, praise God. In verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So God has told us what to think on. Things that are lovely, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are true. It is true that you live in Him. It is true that the greater one lives on the inside of you. It is true that you are the head and not the tail. It is true that you are blessed going out and you are blessed coming in. Think on those things that are true. Praise God. Let's begin to pray. Let's just begin to speak to the Lord.
We know you've been blessed by this message. You can share your testimonies with us via email at foppccpastor@gmail.com or send an SMS or call 074-546-81018. You can also worship with us at Fountain of Praise Christian Center every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Church Road Hall, Church Road, Swanscombe, Kent, DA10-0HE. We look forward to having you in our services. God bless you.